Blessed to have you this morning with us, and we're going to Ephesians chapter 4, and as we enter a new year, I want us to take a moment as a church. Everybody's kind of laughing, and I see that, Joe. You think we're on Eastern Phillip time. I promise we're not. It's 2017. But I want us to reflect and move forward this year, and I want to ask you a couple of questions. No one has to answer anything out loud, but I want to ask a couple questions this morning, and I want you to think about the answers. If you want to answer, just raise your hand, and you're more than welcome to. But the first question is there a resolution that you have made for yourself as we enter a new year? And the second question is, what do you hope 2017 holds for you? So those two questions kind of go together. Is there a resolution that you've made for yourself? And the second is, what do you hope that this next year holds for you? I'll give you a second to think. And while you're thinking, I mean, I've got my own theories on resolutions. We'll think about those answers, and I'll answer them later this morning. But the thing is I think instead of resolving to do something, just do it. Don't resolve to do it. Just, you know, there doesn't have to be a specific day of the year for us to look forward to say, well, you know, January 1's coming up, so I'm going to resolve to do it. We'll just fix it now, and then when January 1 comes, you're good. So you don't have to look forward to fixing something, because the longer you live within a habit, the harder it is for you to get out of the habit. And hopefully we all want to see the year 2017 be the best year of our life. That's how we always look at New Year's Day. Everyone approaches New Year's Day and says, well, this year is going to be the best year of my life. Well, it already is. It started today. You're here. And you can make each day better than the day before. So truly, you choose the attitude with which you attack life. You choose the attitude with which you face life. And so today is the best day that you've had, and you can make tomorrow better. Well, then you're always building. You're always going forward. Now, I could leave the sermon there and we could go, but that would defeat the purpose of being here until like 2 o'clock. So, but I want you to think about your answers to those two questions. Is there a resolution that you have decided that you need to attack in 2017? And what do you hope the year holds for you? And as we look at this morning, I want us to open our Bibles to Ephesians 4. And I want to see how we can get 2017 off to the right start. I want us to look at how we can get this year going in the proper direction. So if you'll open your scripture up to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 17 this morning. And we're going to go through 24. But I want you to understand that today is not about you trying to do better or to fix something from your past. Today is not about us trying to figure out a new path in life. In fact, today is simply about the fact that we are Christians and we have another day to celebrate and worship the Lord in His house. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over into lavishness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be ye that have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Let us pray. Lord God, we just thank you for allowing us to come into your house this morning. We thank you for allowing us to come and worship you today. And I pray that, Lord, this morning, that my words would be your words, Lord, that you would just share a message through me today that would speak to this group, Lord, that would just share your love for them. And Lord, that your spirit would move in a mighty way. And we just pray these things now in the holy, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, when I look at this and I start to think about what this is, let's start with the beginning. And I want to ask a simple question. What is therefore there for? got some funny looks back there. Ernie, you understand that? Do I need to rephrase it? What is therefore there for? Now, I know that that's a play on words, and I know that some of you, especially you English majors or those that were really good at it, are probably sitting there like scrounging, like, why in the world would he do this to me this morning? It's a new year. I was having a great year. Well, guess what? We're going to look at this. Anytime in Scripture that you see the word therefore, anytime in Scripture that you see the word therefore, you see a moment to stop and realize what exactly is it there for. Why is that word written? Why did Paul write it here? Why do we see it in other places in Scripture? Well, the word begs us to look back at what was before. Now, of course, today is the perfect day for us to say therefore and look back at what was before. And Paul has been teaching about this high calling in Christ that we have. Paul, in the first part of chapter 4, is talking about the benefits that we are given as Christians. So what is therefore therefore? Well, if we look at that in verses 1 through 16 of this chapter, we are not to be like the world. You know, we can look back and see what we have based on what Paul says here. Verses 1 through 3, Paul talks about us having a calling by the salvation of grace. Verses 3 through 6, it speaks of our unity in the body of Christ. Verses 7 through 10 talks about our gifts by the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord. The spiritual gifts that we talk about, that we've heard about, those are to serve the Lord and His church for His glory. And verses 11 through 16 talk about us being built up by the ministries of those who are gifted within the church. So there's a summary real quickly for you for verses 1 through 16 as to what Paul is now saying therefore about. That's why it's there. We have been given all of those advantages as Christians. We have been given access to those gifts within ourselves. Now, we need to understand that today, that everything listed here in chapter 4, we have access to it. By the Spirit of God, we are accessible by His Spirit to these gifts. We have the opportunity this morning. And what a better way for us to open up a new year than to tap into the power of God and see what His Spirit will lead us to do. I mean, there's no better way to open up the year than to come into His house and find out what it means to tap into the power of God through His Spirit. This means that we are to walk in a manner that is different than those around us. In the verses from the text that I read today, in those verses from 17 to 24, they have given us a chance to ring in the new. And I want to take a look at those verses this morning. I want us to break it down into three parts. And I want us to really understand what challenges. There's three challenges that I believe Paul has made to us today in these seven verses. Paul is making a challenge to us this morning to let us know what it means to be a Christian. In other words, these challenges are teaching us how we are to walk, how we are to be different from the world. And in fact, there are three ways we're instructed to do that within our lives. Now, he doesn't come right out and say it, but let's basically call it the three D's, so to speak. The first is that we must be different. We are to be different. Verses 17 through 19 tell us that. Verses 17 through 19, we start with therefore, and then he begins to talk about what the world and what us as Christians should look like. We who have been saved are no longer who we were. And those of you today who have professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer who you were. You know, in fact, as today comes, we're no longer who we were yesterday or the day before. We sometimes become so wrapped up in who we think we are that we forget that God may have a purpose down the road. We forget to seek Him. We have been made new in Christ Jesus, but we need to understand our identity. We need to be different. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So therefore, we see that we are a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, it doesn't say if this guy thinks he's in Christ. It says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you have put on Christ, then you have put on something new. You are no longer to look as you did. The old is gone, the new has come. And that is how we look. That's a verse that we embrace on this day. New Year's Day comes and we embrace that verse by, you know, just within us. We think it's the best verse that we've ever seen. We share it on our Facebook walls. We share it on our Twitter posts. We go around and we talk about 2 Corinthians 5:17, and then January 2nd, we go back to who we were. You know, it's because of this new creation that we can no longer live like we used to. It's because of the new creation that we are, that we have been changed and we are different than the world around us. And I want us to see this, that Paul issues a challenge for us to mark the differences between a Christian and a non-Christian. Paul has challenged us in this text today to mark the differences. He even listed some of them there. But he wants us to mark the differences in who we are and who the world is around us. In other words, take inventory of yourself. Look at your life. Look at the gifts you have. Look at the things that you have to offer. And take inventory of yourself and see what God has done. But also take inventory of who you're not and who you're not supposed to be, so that your life can look different when you come to it in this world. We are to mark these differences and be different. And Paul really lists three different things here. I grew up in 4-H and with the Cooperative Extension Service. My mom helped with it some, but I grew up going to 4-H programs and spending a lot of time. And anyone that's in 4-H knows the 4-H's are head, heart, health, and hands. And to be honest with you, I think this might be where part of this came from, because I got to looking at this and I couldn't see anything but those 4-H's. And really only three of them apply, but I think that all three of those really kind of push to the fourth. So truly what Paul has done is given us a 4-H plan this morning. He's given us an opportunity for us to see that those things all are affected in this opportunity we have. The problem in verse 17 is that it's in their heads. The problem with their heads is that they walk in vanity of their minds. The vanity or futility or the emptiness of mind. In other words, they have wasted it on nothing. Now, I don't understand necessarily, and maybe we don't understand what vanity of the mind is, but I think you do. I think we all do, because we've all been there. We've all gotten wrapped up in honestly getting upset, getting worked up, getting worn down over nothing. Over the smallest little thing that has no bearing on your spiritual life whatsoever. Folks, in other words, they live empty lives because they have been corrupted by the sin that is within them. They live empty lives because they invent ways to serve the flesh. And you don't believe that's true. Look at the world today. Look at the world today. People out there inventing new ways to sin. And it's like the old sins have become boring. We've gone from 200 to 300 ways to identify yourself. You know, that's the politically correct way to put it, I guess. But we've gone from one aspect to millions of aspects of life, and we come up with a name for every single one of them. 50 years ago, you didn't hear of half the diseases or half the disorders, or half the things that take place in the world around us today. But now we hear of them because we've come up with ways to emptily describe who we are. Folks, there's only one. There's only one identification we need, and that is Christian. That is follower of Christ. That is son or daughter of God, child of God. We don't need any other identification. We don't need to be ID'd by this world as a name that is a chalkboard long, trying to figure out how to describe it or even say it. I mean, really and truly, what we look at today is that we have invented ways to follow our own selfish desires. Well, that's just who I am, really. It's not who you were created to be. We invent false gods. We invent false religions. We invent philosophies that are designed to show our brilliance rather than God's. And the inventions are from a lost mind. The inventions come from an emptiness, something that is empty of anything helpful. In other words, ultimately, they will condemn a soul to hell. Ultimately, a soul can be condemned to hell based on these empty things that are coming. But we look for acceptance, and we think, well, if I can just come up with a way to explain this, then the world will accept me. And the problem is yes, the world will. But we justify the means rather than finding the cure. Now, I'm not trying to come against anything this morning, but Proverbs 16:25 simply says this. It says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end are the ways of death. Romans 1:28 talks of the lost, reprobate mind that is useless and worthless. In other words, this mind is only capable of producing thoughts that are useless, thoughts that are worthless, thoughts that are empty, thoughts that are not God-pleasing. But we are to think different. We're supposed to have a different mind. We're supposed to have a different head. You know, there's a problem with our head. We've got to think differently than the world. The second problem is in our hearts. The understanding there comes from verse 18, and it's the understanding is darkened. They've basically been turned over to their own lusts, to their own desires. The heart wants what the heart wants. How many times have we heard that lie? The heart wants what the heart wants. That's wonderful. I'm glad you feel that way about it. But it's not all cake and ice cream. Sometimes the heart wants what the heart knows it shouldn't have. Because the heart isn't fully centered where it needs to be. Sometimes the heart follows the wrong path. And the problem is that yes, the heart does want what the heart wants. But the heart should want for Christ to be at the center of it. When we welcome Christ into our heart, the heart wants what the heart wants, and that is God. But when we don't have Christ in our heart, the heart wants what the world wants. The heart wants what can give it joy. We've all got a hole that we're trying to fill, folks. We all have a God-shaped hole in our lives that we're trying to fill with things, anything besides God. Because we just don't understand how on earth that God was made to fit that hole. Because we want to put God in our box. We want to shape God the way that we think he's shaped. And he doesn't fit the hole for us because we think differently of God. But instead of thinking differently, and instead of us taking our hearts to a different aspect and looking at things differently, we start to get wrapped up. Basically, the understanding in this is that we are now alienated from God. And in Romans 1:18, Paul mentions those who hold on to the truth in unrighteousness. Paul mentions of those, meaning that they have heard and know the truth, but they refuse to acknowledge it. Are you one of those today? Have you known the truth? Have you heard the truth? Have you been given the truth? But yet for some reason, you refuse to acknowledge that it exists. You refuse to acknowledge the truth about life. You refuse to acknowledge that truth is the only thing that's going to get you where you go. You know, there's a stubbornness of heart. And because of this, we are separated from the life that we could have because of the life that we hold on to. I want you to understand that today. As we move forward, the only way for us to move forward is to not look back and hold on. Now, I'm not saying we don't look back. I mean, we started with therefore, which means look back. But I'm saying we got to let go. If you're driving down the road in your car and you're looking out the front window, you can see everything in front of you. If you look and focus on the rearview mirror, which takes up so much less space than the window, and all you're doing is looking in the past, are you going to see the truck that just pulled out in front of you? Are you going to be able to stop when that deer runs across the road when you're looking in the rearview? No, because you're not going to see it. And so many times it's like that car. We're focused on that literal rearview mirror, that one small task that we let go a different way than we should have, that one small thing or that past that we couldn't let go of. And we miss the big picture, the blessing that was right there in front of us. We miss the thing that was there for us to avoid. We miss those things that were in front of us because we looked back too long. I mean, think of Lot and his wife. They were instructed to move forward, not look back. She did. She turned into a pillar of salt. Does that mean we can't learn from the past? Absolutely not. But it does mean that for us to go forward in 2017, our eyes have to be forward. We have to think differently. Our hearts have to be differently. And we have to understand that we are different as Christians. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, Paul basically tells us that because of sin, mankind in essence died when Adam sinned. Now, I'm not trying to say that in any different way. What I'm saying is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And they were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying that the moment Adam sinned, man died. The moment that Adam sinned, death entered the picture. The moment Adam sinned, the human race ceased to exist. And that's before humans were ever multiplying on this earth. The moment that Adam sinned, he broke the promise with God. The promise that God had with us. Except for the fact that when Jesus Christ came, he renewed the promise. You see what I'm saying? Adam broke what God had done. Adam broke something. And here's the thing. We are in a continual state of darkness and ignorance toward the things of God. And they want nothing more than to tear us down. We want nothing more than our own desires and their own pleasures. And God has allowed those things to happen in this world because he didn't want to fight. You can't change someone's mind and someone's heart. When someone makes a decision to go after something that is not of God, they have made that wholeheartedly. When someone makes a decision, knowing the love of God, knowing what he has for their lives, and they make a decision to go after something that is not of God, they have made that decision wholeheartedly because they have chosen not to follow their heart. And they've chosen to take it down a different path. Now, what I want us to understand today is that we who are saved, we who are Christians, we are different. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says that we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. The DC Talk put it to music, and it's a beautiful song. But I want to be in the light like he is in the light. Shine like the stars in the heaven. Do you want to walk in the light today? Do you want to be in the light as he is in the light? We are not in the darkness. We have been told that. We've talked about it. We talked about it all last month. That the darkness is no longer in us because the light came to this world. Are you in the light today? Are you in the light? And the third thing is that they have a problem with their hands. They've lost feeling of things in this world. They've lost feeling over the things that have taken place around them. How many of us today have ever felt numb when we've done something wrong? Because we just didn't care anymore. Because we had gotten to a point where these things had become so much a part of who we were that it didn't even bother us to do them. Folks, that's exactly what we're talking about here. We no longer even know how to hurt. We no longer even realize that our lives are being ruined by the life we live. We no longer realize that a commitment to a life of sin becomes a moment when we start to feel in different ways. We don't care that we're doing wrong. We don't care that we're hurting others. And we find ways to justify what we're already doing because it makes us feel better about who we are and what we've done. We find ways to justify ourselves, and this is not a way that we need to be, because that comes with a sense of greed. That's what we see in verse 19, that there is a sense of greed, and that is how the lost live. But we are to feel differently. And all of that affects our health. All of that affects who we are in God. You don't believe me? Look at the illnesses that are out there today. The more sin, the more sickness. The second thing is not only are we to be different, but we are to be discerning. We are to avoid looking like the lost. We are to avoid looking like the world. We are to strive to be like the Lord. Paul has taught us that we shouldn't be like the world, and he now teaches us what we should be like. And he gives us a couple of examples. Number one, Jesus is our example. Jesus is the example that we have. The lost find motivation in their lusts. We, however, are motivated by God. We're motivated by Jesus. When someone claims to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and they still live like the world, they are either deceiving themselves or they are a liar. I want you to hear that this morning. When someone claims to be a Christian, when someone claims to have given their lives to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they continue to live like the world, they are either A, deceived, and they're deceiving themselves, and they think that they've got it all figured out, or B, they are a liar, and they know full well that they are not committed to that cause. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And as we get close to wrapping this up this morning, I just want you to see this today. It says, "And hereby we do know, we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." Do you want to know how to exemplify that you are a Christian today? It's a lot more than lip service. It's a lot more than the words that you share. It really, truly comes down to stop deceiving yourself. Stop deceiving others. Stop discerning things the wrong way. Jesus is our example, and we should allow the mind of Christ to be at work within us. If you want to show the world that you walk as Christ, as a Christian, then walk as Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Think about it this morning. We have to put on the mind of Christ. The second thing Paul tells us in this is that Jesus is our educator. Not only is he our example, he also came to teach. The redeemed are no longer ignorant and trapped in the death and the delusions of this world because they have been given hope through Jesus Christ. And Jesus came not only to live a life, but to teach us how to live a life. We are taught by his truth, and we have been brought unto life through his death. Now, understand, we are on a different path because we are changed by the power of God. We have been changed by his power today in us. When Christ came to us, he brought knowledge and he brought truth. Jesus didn't just come as a baby and then disappear. Jesus came full of knowledge and full of truth. And we have been taught the truth of God and of every other thing in this world. You don't believe me? Just look at what Jesus taught about. Just go to the Sermon on the Mount. Start in Matthew chapter 5. And look at what he taught about. He taught about every little aspect of a life. Jesus taught us about everything that matters. We are to be different. We are to be discerning. And we're to be decisive. Now, that's the third D this morning, is that we are to be decisive. And that comes in those last few verses where we are told to put on the armor. Or to put on the new man. It says that we must put off the old. It says that we must be renewed. And that we must put on the new. In other words, we need to understand this. These statements are a fact. These are not Paul giving us a challenge. These are not Paul telling us that he urges us to be this way. These are Paul saying, this is the truth. This is simply the truth. This is nothing more, nothing less. This is not what you need to do. This is what you have to do. You can't pretend to put on the new. Paul is telling us here today that this is not a choice. This is a choice of God to do this for us. And he is referring not to what we choose to do, but what God does when we choose him. This is not our choice to put off the old, to renew ourselves, and to put on the new. We cannot do that for ourselves. We cannot do that through ourselves, and we can't do it through anyone else. This is what God does for you. We have to be decisive. And I say that, but too many times we become divisive rather than decisive. Too many times we want to attack, we want to fight, we want to become difficult rather than decide. Well, the truth is we need to understand this. It isn't that God will give us no more than we can handle in this world. It isn't that God will give us no more than we can handle. Well, God doesn't want me to have more than I can handle. How many of us have said those words? I've said them. You know what I came to a realization about this weekend? It's not that God will give us more than we can handle. It's that God will help us handle what we get. Now understand that today. God doesn't necessarily give us the things that come our way in life. There's the enemy out there who seeks to destroy you. Some things come and they're not of God. Well, God wouldn't allow it if he didn't know. Maybe God would allow it. Because God wants to show his glory in your life. Sometimes God's plan is for you to go through a difficult time. It's not that he's trying to hurt you, because God's not going to do that. We should never say that God has tempted us, because he can't be tempted. That's what the scripture tells us. But what we should say this morning is this: God helped me through that difficult time. God showed his glory in this moment in my life. This is the part of the process that we need to fully understand this morning. Number one, there is something for us to renounce. We have to put off the old. We cannot live that way anymore. The past is gone. It's forgotten. Jesus forgot it as far as the east is from the west, but yet we still hold on to it just like it was the gospel truth. Because we can't let go of who we think we are. We can't let go of those problems that have held us down. We hold on to the regret. We hold on to the remorse. We hold on to the things of yesterday that keep us from growing. We have to let go. We have to renounce those things. We must strip away everything from the old man that is there. We must strip away every bit of our old life. We must allow that to be taken from us. The old man is dirty. He's corrupt. And he is alive within each one of us. But today we must daily decide to strip away those things of the past. Galatians 2:20. Take that verse, write it on your index card, put it somewhere. I don't know what you want to do with it. But Galatians 2:20 is a verse that speaks to this morning. And it tells us that I've been crucified with Christ. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives within me. We are dead to sin and alive in Christ today. You know, there's something that we have to renew. Not only do we have to renounce the past, we have to renew ourselves. And a lost sinner has a mind that is devoted to vanity. It's devoted to the world. It is devoted to getting the pleasures of the flesh. And that is not what Christians are about. We have to have a mind, and we do have a mind that is in need of renewal. We were given a new life when Jesus came. We were given a new life when he took back the death, when he took the keys to death and hell, when he decided to come, to live, to die, and to rise again. We were given new life. Before that, after sin entered the world, we were dead. We were dead. We had nothing going for us. In fact, the two ways that we are renewed on a daily basis is simply this: the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Word of God that you have in your hand, that you can read, that you can study, that you can focus on, and the Spirit of God that is alive in you. Those two things renew you daily. Our minds have literally been changed by God. We are no longer in the past. He has changed us. He has changed our minds. And he has given us something to hope for. And when we get our minds right, then the rest will follow. And the last thing we see is that we have something to reveal. We have something to reveal in this discernment process. We have something to reveal in this decision process. We have something to reveal through the glory of God. And we must put on a new, righteous, holy identity. Do you have that in you today? Have you put on that new identity this morning? In other words, we are to put on the man that God created. We're not to put on the man that the world tells us God created. We are to put on the man that God created. I mentioned that a couple of times this morning, but Adam was created in the likeness of God. The scripture tells us that, which therefore means that we are all created in the likeness of God, which basically tells me this: that it is Christ who lives in us and not us who lives for Christ. Think about it this morning. Too many times we have tried to live for Christ. But if you realize, Paul didn't say for me to live as Christ, or for me to live for Christ and to die as gain. He said to me to live is Christ. He said to me to live is Christ, meaning that it is not of us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who is alive in me. Jesus has put his Spirit within us. It is quite literally Christ living within us today. We're not perfect, but we have been changed. We're not perfect, and I'm not saying that we're not going to fail. But we have been changed. We've been given a chance to start over. We've been given a chance to see what is new in our lives. So what resolution do you have for 2017? I just ask you to do this. Put on the new. Forget the old. And move forward. It doesn't have to have a name. It doesn't have to have anything attached to it. We don't have to decide, well, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to do this. Put on the new. Allow God to work in your life and let the rest follow. You know, maybe there are life decisions you need to make. Maybe you do need to stop eating so much. I know I do. And as soon as I get done with all this Christmas candy that people have left at the station and in my Jeep and at my house, then I'll start that path. But we need to put away the old. We need to understand that we are renewed and we now are to put on this new. We are not perfect, but we were made in the likeness of God, which tells me this, that we do have the potential. We do have the potential to be like Christ. We were created in his image and he lives within us, which means that if we can get out of the way, and we can take the man out of the process, that for us to live is Christ. So how are you doing at being different? How are you doing at being discerning? How are you doing at being decisive this morning? Can you honestly say that you are living a life that is different from those around you? When you look at the world, does your life look different? Do they look at you and do they see something that they want because it is different? Do they look at you and say, wow, how in the world did you deal with that situation in that way? And you can talk to them about it. If you're like me, you need help. If you're like me, you need help with your mind. You need help with your thought process, and that help comes from the Lord. If you need help putting off the old man, that help comes from the Lord. Help is found in Jesus Christ this morning. Help is found in Christ and what he does. And if you've realized that you're not trapped by this darkness, that you're not lost in this disguise anymore, then today is the day to start new. I don't want to call it a resolution, because the resolution is meant to be broken, in my full honest opinion. I don't want to call this a resolution. This is a decision that you have made to move forward. A resolution is something that you lay out there and you decide, hey, I think maybe for 2017 I'm going to stop drinking soda. Well, great, but what about 2018, 2019? Does that mean you're going to pick them up again? We can resolve to be a better Christian, but does that mean that you're going to revert back to your old lifestyle? If you decide to follow Christ, that is a life-changing, life-altering event. And God comes into your heart and he changes you from the inside out. He puts a new mind in you. He puts a new heart in you. And he puts a new feeling within you that was gone because of the sin. Sin will strip away everything good about your life. And the problem is that it feels good when it's taking place. And then eventually, somewhere down the road, you realize that you have no feeling, that you have no hope. You have no hope because you've gotten to a point where the only thing in your life that was fulfilling, you can no longer do. But in Psalms, does it not tell us that his mercies are new every morning? So if you put on the new, then that means every day. That means every single day we're given something new. There's something great for us to look forward to because the new has come. So today, put off the old. Renew yourself. Put on the new. Be different. Be discerning. Be decisive. If you've got to make a decision, then come. If not, that's fine too. You can still make a decision within here. It doesn't have to be you coming up here and talking to me. It doesn't mean you have to talk to Joe. But there is one you need to talk to. He's the one that saved you. He's the one that created you. He's the one that sent his son. He's the one that makes you new. And he's giving you a hope today that is greater than any hope that we have on this earth. So if you have a decision to make, come as we sing number 11.